Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. Our women athletes are absolutely crushing it. From the triumphant return of the Utah Royals national soccer team to the University of Utah women's basketball taking home the Pac-12 championship for the first time in history, let's go. Women's sports superfan Sarah Reel is here to explain why this is more than just a moment. This is an evolution in our local industry. Today's Monday, March 20th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Sarah Reel, you called us out for not talking about Utah women's athletics nearly enough. Let's just get that out of the way. This was a call out.
And proud.
I want to play something for you.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
I'm already hyped. Have you seen this one?
We've been told the lion
is
the king of the jungle. But the lioness is the real royalty.
Gives me goosebumps.
She's fast and determined. A fearless leader who is powerful and expressive.
It makes me want to beat on a trash can.
This is the return of royalty.
And have sweat dripping down my back at a game.
That represents everyone. Run by women, empowering women. We are Utah Royals FC.
Oh, so good. They're
so
back,
good,
baby.
Where were you when you heard the announcement that the Utah Royals National Women's Soccer League team is returning to Utah?
I don't remember where I was, but I knew it was coming. There'd been so many teasers. We had heard so many things that I knew it was coming. So it wasn't like a, oh my gosh, text everyone surprise, but it was like,
yeah,
it really is real. And
yeah,
I'm so excited. I feel like we're doing it right this time.
On that note, where did they go in the first place?
Well, there actually has been a lot of controversy around the entire NWSL league. A lot of bad owners, a lot of crummy coaches, a lot of icky treating women wrong type situations. And it felt like the league did a massive cleanup and called a lot of people out, fired a lot of people, and exposed a lot of things. And the Royals were one of those. So Deloy Hansen, the former owner of the Utah Royals, didn't do a great job, generally.
Yeah.
And the team got bought by Kansas City. And they're thriving, and I'm happy for them. And so I thought that was it. I mean, I've waited since the Utah Stars were here, the WNBA team, for Utah to have a professional women's team. And it was heartbreaking. I was devastated to see them leave. But Ryan Smith swooped in, promised to bring them back, and a man of his word, here they are. They're back, and I am thrilled.
Yeah. And specifically, like, the issue with Deloy's ownership was, well, there were a number of things. He was someone who liked to run his mouth, and it felt like he was always in the press for saying derogatory things about pretty much everyone. But there were sexual harassment claims afoot, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, the ironic part is that he came out touting that he was doing this and supporting women. And he did a lot of good things. Like, he gave, you know, equal facilities, treated both Real and the Royals in the same way. But behind the scenes, there was just a lot of old man's club, gross sexual harassment accusations, poor management. And what we're seeing now is what we've seen with Angel City as well in LA and San Diego and other clubs across the nation, is the focus is women and they're putting women in charge. Turns out works really great. And and it makes sense, right? For a women's league, it should be run by women. And so we're going to see a different Royals than we have ever seen. So I'm really excited about that. I hated that we left, but I feel like clean slate, we're doing it right this time, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, and I feel like we already are seeing a different Royals, because one of the political implications of their return is around the issue of abortion. We saw the news, you know, a couple days after the announcement came that the National Women's Soccer League said, all right, Utah, you just essentially banned abortions. So if any of our employees or our players need this kind of medical care, you're paying for it. And it seems like Ryan Smith said, no problem.
A lot of that, when I heard that news, I couldn't help but think about the, you know, generations of women soccer players who have fought and fought for equality, fought for better benefits, fought for women in all sports to have, you know, maternity leave and different things that were never offered. Well, first of all, women obviously are paid much less. But beyond that, they've just fought to have a voice in these leagues. And to me, I saw that as like a huge win, because the whole league is focused on really supporting women. But to me, like the legacy and the shoulders that we're standing on of these women that have fought for a long time to give women not only an opportunity in sports, but to have all the rights and benefits that they deserve as athletes.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about sort of the past, but looking down the barrel at the future of women's sports in Salt Lake, like, what is the ripple effect of investing in these women's teams?
Personally, when I was young and I thought I'd be the first woman in the NBA, because
there's still time.
Yes, because they didn't have a WNBA at the time, right? So when I showed up to that Utah Stars game and I sat in that crowd and I got to see professional women athletes, that was so impactful for me. And it made me see that there could be a future. And we have a long way to go, a long way to go. It kills me to think that there are women who are the best at what they do, and there's nothing after college for them, right? But I think that the impact of having a professional team in Utah shows all of those young girls how the potential that they have and the future that they might have. And to see that it isn't just, you know, dudes on TV to watch. There's also women just like them that are working hard and are incredible athletes. And I think that impact is monumental, but so important for these young athletes. So important.
Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten mom's day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea, very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a 6-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
I say this a lot on the show, but like one of the things about sports that's so interesting to me is that it's sort of like this, it's this arena where we have a lot of conversations about social issues. Like it's this incredible stage for like reflecting back at our communities and like what we've built. And Utah, of course, you and I both know, ranked consistently the worst state in the nation for women's equality over and over again. How does investing in women's sports teams like push that forward?
You know, I've thought a lot about this because, you know, the arguments are like, well, people don't like to watch their game. Hate that one. Well, people don't go to the games, okay? People don't watch it on TV. They don't buy the apparel or whatever. But all of the research shows the more we invest in women's sports, the greater it grows. So really, they were saying, well, no one goes to the games. Well, their marketing dollars are far less than the men's. If people don't know there's a game, how are they going to go? But the more that people have invested in other clubs, in other leagues, they have seen that grow exponentially. So invest in women, pay women, and there is a market and it is growing. And Utah is really smart, even from a business perspective, to jump on board because the market is huge. And it turns out all we needed to do was just start investing in women. I hate it because it's so obvious, right?
Right. You don't get a return on investment without the initial investment. Like, that's not how that works, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, besides the Women's Soccer League, what Utah women's sports team should we be paying close attention to and why?
Well, obviously, right now, the U of U women's basketball team is absolutely crushing it. Those games are so fun.
Pac-12 champions.
Our women's sports in collegiately are doing amazing. The cool part, too, tying it to the Royals, is that the U of U, Utah State, and BYU have really strong women's soccer teams. And so that's really fun to watch. And it's BYU actually made it to the national championship 2 years ago in women's soccer. I love that. Obviously, I have to give a pitch for where I work, which is Salt Lake Community College. Their women's soccer team is incredible. Their women's basketball team and volleyball, always in the Final Four or in the national championship year after year. I've worked there for 13 years and they have been dominant the entire time.
There's this like weird mythology that like the women's teams don't play as like dirty or the game isn't as competitive or like compelling. I think people have that sense. And like, I'm sorry, but you go to a Jazz game early in the season, those guys are wandering around that court.
Oh, it's so boring.
And then you go watch Utes women's basketball and they are fierce. Like they miss no opportunities. They take every shot. Like they play their hearts out. It is if you are really there to watch the game, it is way more fun.
Way more fun. It's because you can't just showboat. Women aren't just showboating. They're not just like running it down and dunking or just like running it down and shooting a three. The fundamentals and the strategy of the game in basketball is so much more fun to watch for women. And then women's soccer, they're not flopping every 3 seconds. So I personally love watching women's soccer because, you know, Abby Wambach or Becky Sauerburn have like staples in their forehead and blood dripping yeah. down their face. And they didn't even fall over when it happened, right? And you can't go 3 seconds of a men's soccer game without watching them, you know, pretend to be hurt.
Right. Yeah. Trying to get an Academy Award. I feel like a women's athletics association that does get a lot of traction in Salt Lake is the U gymnastics team.
The Red
Why
Rocks.
Do you think they like have kind of the Red Rocks have kind of like, I don't know, how have they managed to like build their little like fandom empire?
They have built an empire and it is. Yeah. They have been able to recruit some of the top gymnasts in the nation. And part of that, you know, it goes to show, like, when we show up for women's sports, I hate to say it, but it's like, we're all a little bit like sheep. And it's like, if one person says it's cool to go to these things, it's like, oh, have you been to this? It creates hype and people end up going. And when more people show up and support these teams, these collegiate teams, they sell more tickets, they recruit better athletes, and it's a benefit for the entire institution when that's the case. And they started small, but they have built an empire, and they are consistently, when you talk about collegiate gymnastics, you don't not talk about the U of U. You talk about those Red Rocks, and they're really fun to go to. I don't know anything about gymnastics, and I'm like, my eyes are going everywhere, and there's music, and it's just like, it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an art. Okay, before we get out of here, I want to ask you to give us like a little history lesson, because of course it's Women's History Month.
Yes.
And something that you have talked to me about a lot is like that when we think about women's sports in Salt Lake, we also have to acknowledge the legacy, because the legacy is pretty impressive here. So say I'm at a party, I want to impress basically you. Who are three legendary Utah women athletes I need to be ready to talk about?
This is tough, but because I have so many, but I will start with what I consider, at least for my generation, the woman who made it possible for all of us to play sports here in Utah. Norma Carr, former okay. Salt Lake Community College athletic director. She fought and fought and fought, starting at Davis High School when they didn't allow women's sports, pre-Title IX, you know, getting women's sports. She would just create teams and have them play even though they weren't supposed to, all the way down to being the first female athletic director at a college in Utah, where she built the entire Salt Lake Community College athletic department. They have been so successful, and all of her hard work, from the men locking her out of locker rooms to telling her they can't have teams. At one point, she was the head softball coach, volleyball coach, and assistant athletic director at the University of Utah. Oh, all three of those jobs, and she was still underpaid compared to her male counterparts. A lot of the legacy of women's sports in Utah is Norma Carr. The next one is Natalie Williams. Natalie Williams was, she went to Taylorsville High School, went back to UCLA, and played both basketball and volleyball there. She was an insane athlete. She played in the WNBA and for USA Basketball, and she played for the Stars here, and then stayed in Utah and had her own like skills and camps and things that she did for women's basketball. She was a Skyline High School women's basketball coach, and then she got swooped up to go down and be the general manager of the Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA team who won won the national championship last year. The Aces are so fun that it's an incredible team. They're so talented, and she's Utah's own. She's a GM down there. If you can, get on a Spirit Air flight, leave in an afternoon, go to a WNBA game in Vegas, fly back. It is so worth it.
And she's a Hall of Famer, too.
Hall of Famer. Yes, she's amazing. Natalie Williams. So the last one is probably Kelsey Chug. Kelsey Chug, my dad calls her the queen of Utah golf. She started at Weber State, and she's won 5 Utah Women's State Am Cups, which is amazing. Okay. And what I love about Kelsey Chug is that she is older than all the girls that she's competing by. She's still pretty young. She's in her 30s. But she has done this all on her own while also working full-time. And what golf is a sport where it's a lot of money in golf. And, you know, generally you see these young girls that are out there that she's competing with, and they have specialized coaches, and they dedicate their entire life to golf. Chug, she rolls in. She's so talented. She's working full time. She's currently like the assistant director of Salt Lake Golf at the city. And she even drives her own cart without a caddy and goes in and just kills it. She's an incredible golfer. Anyone in there in golf will just say, Kelsey Chug, oh man, she's so good. And you don't hear
Silent
about that
but
a
deadly.
Lot. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm looking at her Instagram page. This is a person you're telling me is, you have named as one of the top 3 women athletes I need to know about as a Salt Laker. And she has 600 Instagram followers.
Right, right. And she hates to talk about it. If I'm at a party with Kelsey Chug and I'm like, oh, you know, she's like, she was named Utah Women Golfer of the Year. The male women golfer of the year she was named that was Tony Finau. So it's like Tony Finau for men, Kelsey Chug for women. I love watching her roll up to a tee and watch the dudes just sit there and go, holy shit, like watching her hit. She's amazing. And she does it all coming from a background that wasn't just like full of privilege and, you know, much like Tony Finau, you know, she's made it on her own through dedication and hard work. And I'm so impressed by her.
Sarah Real, I can't wait to run into you out and about and impress you with all this knowledge that you've imparted
to me. And when I see you, I'll just tell you more and more, Allie.
I love your enthusiasm for this. It has been such an absolute joy to talk with you. You've got to come back and give us updates on all of these teams.
Honestly, I've just been spending my entire life screaming on the internet and to people about how important women's sports are and why people should care. So this is an amazing opportunity to be able to talk about it. I hope you guys
scream
all cheer and go and attend women's sports because it's so important.
The Wall Street Journal reported that Real Salt Lake owners Ryan Smith and David Blitzer are spending anywhere from $2 to $5 million to bring the Royals back to Salt Lake. It's a low fee, and it was negotiated when the team left in 2020. Because guess how much the new San Francisco women's soccer team is paying in expansion fees? Ready for this? $50 million. The consulting firm Deloitte did a big prediction report in 2021 about the rise in popularity of women's sports, and it made the case for major future investments in the way of TV rights, event day attendance, and sponsorships. Here's my favorite case study from that report. In sports where men's and women's games have equal marketing support, their commercial impact has been the same. So let's look at tennis. The prize money for men and women's Grand Slam events is the same. And in fact, a few years ago, tennis was the only sport in which female athletes were among the top 100 best compensated stars. And in the US, TV ratings for tennis Grand Slams have been slightly higher for women than men. But here's the caveat. Despite good TV ratings, women's tennis Grand Slam events received 41% less media coverage than the men's events. So here we are, the media. Time to look inward. And one more thing before we go. If you're looking for a new spring spectator sport, how about Ultimate Frisbee? The Utah Wild Professional Ultimate Team for women and non-binary people just kicked off their second season. Something cool about that team? It is a nonprofit, and the players make up the board. Check out UtahWildUltimate.org to get tickets to their two remaining home games. They play over at Judge Memorial. That's all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. If you went to any of the March Madness NCAA women's basketball games at Huntsman this weekend, I just want to say, I hope you went absolutely nuts in the stands. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.